to have you here today. We're going to be talking about chapter 5 in Ron's book, and we're going to be talking about perseverance. Perseverance, or another term we use is endurance. And sometimes perseverance is translated in the Bible, it's translated patience. And so God is trying to get our attention when he talks to us about persevering or enduring through life. How many here have ever had to endure a difficulty in your life? Okay, most of you have. And if you haven't, don't get discouraged. They will come, trust me. Hardships will come. Difficult times will come. No matter if you love Jesus or you don't even believe in Jesus, you will have to go through hardship. It's much easier to go through life's hardships with Jesus than it is without him. Trust me, I've tried it both ways. But you will have need of this characteristic that Pastor Ron talks about in his book in chapter 5, this thing called perseverance. Perseverance, endurance. So what does exactly mean? The next slide. What is the definition of persevering or having endurance? Well, the word perseverance means this. It means persisting in doing something despite difficulty. Say difficulty. You do something even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, or delay in achieving success. See, a lot of the great things in life don't happen instantly. They don't happen in 2 years or 3 years. They happen in sometimes 15 years or 20 years or 30 years. So sometimes we have to persevere and go through hard times and difficult times and dry times before we get to the finish line and enjoy the prize. Amen. And so if you don't have perseverance, if I don't have endurance, this life is going to be very, very hard, and I'm going to look for easy ways to escape the hardship of having to go the hard yards and do the full race and finish strong. I want something instant, I want it immediately, and I want it to be easy, and that's our culture, unfortunately. Yet God talks about, and Ron highlights in his book this thing called perseverance. What is endurance? It's very similar. It's completing an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. To continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Again, I've already told you, if you live long enough, you're going to have hardship. Trust me, that's a prophecy for all of us here. Whether you're rich or poor, black or white, whatever you are, you will go through life, and there will come a time where you will have hardship. I was talking to a young man today. He lost his uncle last week, and it was a hardship. He loved him. He was close to his uncle. His uncle was very young and died suddenly, unexpectedly. Guess what? That's called hardship. That's called tragedy. You know what? And everyone goes through those kind of things. So what do we do when we go through hardship? Do we just give up and throw in the white towel and say, I'm quitting life? Or do we have to persevere? We have to have endurance in this thing called life. We have to have endurance in this thing called Christianity. You know, when I got saved back in college, I was in grad school at Tennessee Tech University. I was an athlete, and God saved me when I was in grad school. And when I got saved, I thought everything was going to be a bed of roses. It was going to be, hey, God's forgiven me. I'm not going to go to hell now. I've been forgiven. I've got a brand new lease on life. I can start all over again. It's going to be really, really good and easy. Can I tell you something? 6 months in my first encounter, after my first encounter with Jesus, it was the most difficult time of my life because all my friends rejected me. Because I didn't go out partying with them anymore. All the people that I liked and wanted to hang out with, they didn't want to hang out with me anymore because I didn't do the things they enjoyed doing on Friday and Saturday night anymore. So guess what? I didn't win what you might call a popularity contest. In fact, people were avoiding me like a plague. Why? Because there's this thing called Christianity. My life had changed. And it was a hardship. It was something I had to endure. But because I was following Jesus, I had to have this thing called perseverance to go through that time, you see. Now it's amazing. Many years later, I have them calling me, saying, can you pray for me? And I'm on my third wife, and could you help me? And, you know, all of a sudden, now they want what I had back years ago, now that they've gone through their own hardship. So endurance and patience is something we need. And let me tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is not a sprint. It's a long-distance race. How many of you have found that out yet? You know, if you've ever run track or you're familiar with athletics, you know you have this thing called sprinters. You know what sprinters do? They sprint. And after about 100 meters or 220 meters, they have sprinted. And can I tell you what? That's all they've got. They've given everything for that 100 meters. Then you have people who are what we call long distance racers, or they have long endurance, and they go a mile, 5 miles, 10 miles, 26 miles or further. But can I tell you something? Sprinters who have more speed than people with endurance can't go that far, although they're faster, but they give out. They're exhausted before the mile marker, yet long-distance runners can go forever. You see? And a lot of times we have this mindset that Christianity is a 100-meter race. And if I can just get through college, if I can just get through this hardship, then I'll get the prize and everything is going to be just fine. Can I say something, ladies and gentlemen? There's nothing further from the truth. Christianity is not a sprint. It's a long-distance race. So you need to buckle in for the long haul, because it's not going to be 100 meters and then all of a sudden the flash of glory and you get raptured up to heaven and everything's great. Can I tell you what? It may take a little longer, and trust me, you will have to go through what we call difficulty. You'll have to go through hardship, you see. But the good news is God is with you all the way. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I played football and basketball for my high school team. And we had successful years my senior year, and I got a scholarship to go to college to play football. And my football coach, who was also the track coach, said, Ken, why don't you come and run the 800 meters for us, because we've seen that you can run, and we want you to run the 800 meters, which is two times around the oval, if you're familiar with track. And I said, okay. But I really wasn't an 800-meter guy. You know what I was? I was a 400-meter guy. That's one time around the oval. You know what? We had this meet, and I came out there, and the coach said, you'll do fine. Just run the 800 meters. And we had all our rival high schools in the area, and they were there, and they had all their track guys. And so I thought, okay, I know how to run. I'll just run as fast as I can, and if I run as fast as I can, I'll get to the finish line first. Can I tell you what? It's two times around the oval. The gun went off, and boom, we went off. After 400 meters, can I tell you what? I was leading the pack. I was clearly 20 yards in front of the next contestant. After about 450 yards, something jumped on my back. It was that proverbial monkey that jumps on all of our backs when things get hard and things get difficult and we run out of gas. And all of a sudden, everybody that I was leading started passing me. And there was about 20 of us in the race. And I finished the first lap, number one. I finished the second last lap, dead last. You know why? Because I didn't have endurance. I was prepared for one lap around the track, but not two. These other athletes, guess what? They had this thing called endurance. And it wasn't how you start the race. It's not where you're at after the first lap. It's where you are at the finish line. It's not how you start that counts. It is how you finish. And see, the reality is, the funny thing about all my friends, all my football buddies were in the stand. They were laughing at me and, you know, cursing and saying, they suckered you, dude. They suckered you. They let you get out in front. And all of a sudden, I was the ridicule for the whole afternoon with all my buddies up in there. Because they said, look, you came in dead last. You know what? It's amazing how in life and in Christianity, how people can sprint out and do things really well. And they look like they're leading, But all of a sudden, the lack of endurance, the lack of perseverance shows up, and they get passed by all these other people. I can't tell you how many people have come to a church like this. They've been touched by the message. The Holy Spirit has touched their heart, has apprehended them, and they say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do whatever I can do to be a Christian. I'm going to give my whole life to Jesus. And I have to tell them, I said, we will see. You know why? It's not how you respond in a week or a month or even a year. It's where will you be in 2 years? What will you be doing in 5 years? That will determine if you understand this thing called perseverance. Remember, it's not a sprint, it's a long-distance race. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 3 says this, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance. Run with what? Endurance. Why? It's a long-distance race, sweetheart. It's not a sprint. It's not going to be over in 6 months. It's not going to be over in 1 year. It may not be over in 20 years. So we have got to pace ourselves and understand, God, I'm willing to go through hardship. I need this thing called perseverance. I need this thing called endurance so that I don't become a laughing stock when I can't finish the race that I said I wanted to run in. And many Christians fall short because they don't have this thing called endurance. It says, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle in the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance. You know, it's an amazing thing. It says that let us rid ourselves of the entanglements or the things that would trip us up. Can I tell you what? There are some things in your life that are not really sin, but will trip you up in life. How many know what I'm talking about? You say, well, that's not really a sin to do this, but it will entangle me. It will hinder me from running the race with endurance. Amen? So we don't need to split hairs. Well, this is a sin. This isn't. Hey, it may be a sin outright by Scripture, but if it entangles me, if it trips me up, if it slows me down, I don't want to be entangled. Why? I've got a race to run. I've got something God put me on the planet to do, and I can't fritter this opportunity away by getting extra weight on my back or tying my legs with something that's going to fetter me and slow me down and entangle me. I need to run this race, and I need to run it with endurance because it's a long-distance journey, and I don't want to fall short and be a laughingstock. I need endurance. I need perseverance. Run this race looking to Jesus. You know what? It's amazing when you have to do something that takes a long time, you need to have a focus on something outside of the hardship. How many here have ever fasted, gone without food? Yeah. Okay, we're not going to call a fast, so don't worry. You know what? It's hard to do it. But you know what? I don't focus on food when I'm on a 3-day fast. I don't look at banana pudding pictures or, you know, Google stuff. You know, I don't look at that. Why? I don't want to focus on the thing that's tempting me to stop running. I want to look at the end and the goal and the finish line. What will I achieve? What am I doing this for? Forget the good things that I have to give up and do without. I can endure that if I focus on the right thing. But if I'm always at the restaurant, if I'm hanging out at Sonny's, if I'm hanging out at these restaurants and just trying to fast, how many know if you focus on that, you're going to end up slipping and falling and never finishing your fast? Why? You have to focus on the right thing. Jesus said, don't become entangled on these things or the sin, but fix your eyes on the goal, on the gold, on the finish line. I am fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured. So I'm not in this thing alone. Amen. I'm not the only one that's fasting. I'm not the only one who's resisting sin. I'm not the only one that is saying no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. Jesus did it, and he is my prime example. As long as I focus on him, I can make it. If I focus on what I'm missing out on and say I want those things instead of focusing on what I'm about to get, can I tell you something? We can finish and cross the finish line and finish the race with endurance. It says, and he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint. Some of you in here may be weary. You may be faint. You say, well, I've tried this, but I'm really tired. I'm really don't have much endurance. I really don't have much left in my tank, Pastor Ken. Can I tell you what? You're not alone. The Bible says that many grow weary. Many are tempted to faint. But if we focus on the right thing, we focus on the things which transcend our pain and our hardship, we can finish, and we can finish strong. And that's what God wants for you. He wants for you. He wants it for me. You see? And so I'm not going to give up. Why? Because I know there's a finish line, and I know with God's help, I can take one more step. You know, the things that we battle against here in our instant culture, our instant gratification world, is this thing called comfort, ease, and let's take the path of least resistance. Can I tell you what? Sometimes the way of comfort, the way of ease, and the way of least resistance is your worst choice. The best choice is let me do what's hard. Let me do what's hard. Because if I do what's hard and I succeed, can I tell you what? When other hardship comes along, because it's coming, I can overcome that because I've already proven I can lift 210 pounds. So maybe I can lift 250 pounds. Here, anybody here ever go to the gym and lift weights? Okay, God bless you. Have you ever gone to the gym and they've got all these heavy weights in there, don't they, Ben? And I've seen people in there and I've gotten to go all over the world and I've gotten to see people who are very muscular, people who are great athletes, and it's pretty impressive to see what they do. But can I tell you what? If you look at those people in the gym, they are not going up to the bench press and petting the weights and saying, boy, that looks heavy. That looks really heavy. And you know what? That looks hard to do. That guy who's doing these pull-ups with the weight around his belt, boy, that looks hard. See, there are people, you can look at the weights, you can talk about the weights, you can pet the weights, you can sit on the weights, but unless you resist the weight, it ain't going to do you any good. Amen. See, God puts a little 100-pound in your life, not to discourage you to quit and say, oh, Christianity is not working. No, he's saying, no, it will work. This is a resistance test. If you resist that, I'm going to take you on to something heavier so you can overcome that. So every point of resistance, if you pass the test and finish it instead of giving up and bellyaching, and say, well, I just thought God loved me and had a wonderful plan for my life. He does. He wants to get you in the shape for this thing called victory. He wants to get you in shape for this thing called overcoming sin, death, and the enemy. And the only way he can do it is by putting weight on your bar. If you don't go and work out or you don't lift the weights, it does you no good. Well, I'm going to go to a church that they don't require us to lift weights. Lots of luck. Lots of luck. Go to a church where they don't challenge you. Go to a situation where, you might as well be dead, my friend. Life is about accepting challenges God's put in you because they make something of you. The process is what, it's not that you get bigger, it's become you become better and stronger and get closer to the finish line God has for you. So either we can walk and accept hardship and have endurance, or we can give into this world of comfort, ease, and I'll just take the path of least resistance. James 1, 2, and 4 says this, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. I'm going to read that again. We didn't get very many amens on that one. Consider it all joy. If I were to say, consider all joy when there's $100,000 deposited in your bank by an anonymous giver, what, you'd be shouting, wouldn't you, Ed? Hallelujah. I'm going out to Sonny's and everybody, it's all on me. Come on over. Yeah, we would be buying ice cream and, you know, give money to the poor, you know. We would consider that joy. But he says, no, it's not about monetary gain or getting a trophy or getting a big car or a new house or a big raise. Consider our joy when you encounter various trials. There's resistance coming. Consider it joy because if you pass the test, you're going to graduate to something bigger, greater, and grander that's going to bring me glory and impact other people. Amen? I don't want a life of ease. I don't want a life of ease. I don't want to sit around and be bored out of my mind to see what's coming on TV next week or next year. What I want to do is I want to do something with my life. Why? Because I'm in a race and there is a finish line. And those who finish strong, they have a reward. And if you have seen the reward and you've seen the rewarder, you don't want to quit. It takes no courage to quit. It takes no ability to quit. It takes no academic prowess to quit. All you have to do is be a quitter. And we have a world full of quitters. It takes a champion to say, they don't see what I see, but I see something, and I will not quit. Bring it on, God. Bring it on, devil. I'm going to the finish line. You got to be that way, or you will not enjoy the prize that God has for you at the end of your race. And the beautiful thing is God is with you the whole thing. In fact, he has led the way by showing you through his son how we can endure hardship and still be victorious. Consider all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. The very thing you and I need is patience and endurance. If I go through this hardship, I'm going to have more for the next round. It's actually going to help me to lift the weight. It's not going to hurt me. It's going to help me to endure the situation. Why? It's going to give me the grit to endure something much more difficult that's coming my way. It produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. What a great promise. What a great promise. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this. And not only this, but we are to celebrate in our tribulations. Amen. Praise God. When hardship comes, when someone says you're an idiot to serve Jesus, you ought to just be shouting, glory to God. You're just making it easier for me to be strong to preach to you more. You're just putting fuel on my fire, sweetheart, to bring this tribulation, to bring this resistance, because I know where I'm going, and I'm going to have this thing called endurance. And after you've stopped saying anything, I'm going to surpass all the negatives you try to put on me here. Celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. What does tribulation bring about? So for you and I to have perseverance or endurance, we have to go through hardship. We have to go through something that isn't easy and not necessarily pleasant, but it's good for us even though we don't like it. And perseverance will bring about proven character, and proven character will bring about hope. There was a sociologist back in 1969, two of them, Victor and Mildred Gorgazel. They published a fascinating study analyzing 400 subjects who were outstanding people in society. They were exceptional, gifted, and many of them were famous people. If I named them, you would recognize them right away. One was Martin Luther King. They did a study of their childhood. The book was called The Cradle of Eminence, The Cradles of Eminence. In other words, how did these people become great? How did they become such powerful people and influential people? Because when you see where they came from, when you understand that where they came from, they were not great. In fact, they were less than great. They were underneath the norm. So they shouldn't be achieving the things they're achieving. So he did a study called The Cradle of Eminence. And here's what he found out. What was the common thread or common denominator that linked all these great, powerful people together? Surprisingly, they found the common denominator that ran through all these great people when they became adults was this thing called perseverance. Almost all of these exceptional people had to overcome and live through very difficult obstacles and hardships in their early life in order to become successful and prominent. See, hardship is not your enemy. It is actually a good thing, provided you will embrace it and resist it. If you give into it and let it crush you, that's not good. But if you embrace it and resist it, not only will you overcome the weight of the hardship, it will make you stronger for the next hardship. So in weightlifting, they call it overload training, where you put more on the bar than you can lift. But when you lift it or you get spotted and you can lift most of it, if you keep doing that, next time you lift, you can lift it without support. Why? Because your muscles build up to it. In the same way, your endurance and your faith builds up to everything the devil throws at you. And if you and I will have perseverance, if you and I will have endurance, we can be great for God in our culture. How many want to do great things for God? Yeah, I think we all do. You have a chance, but you're going to have to embrace this thing that Pastor Ron highlights in chapter 5 called perseverance or endurance. Can I tell you something? Everybody in here will deal with discouragement. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, you're going to have discouraging things that happen in your life. So it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you react to what happens to you that counts. Amen? How many here have ever had a difficult situation in your life? Again, let me see your hands. How did you handle that? Did you just buckle under it and say, I'm going to lock myself in this house and I'm quitting life? Or did you think about ending your life? No, hopefully you said, no, I can get through this if I embrace it. If I persevere and endure, I can get through this. And that's how life is, and that's how God's intended it to be. That's why we need this component, this characteristic called perseverance and endurance. Dealing with discouragement. Let me give you 5 things that you can count on tomorrow and the next week and the week after this. Number 1, every person has problems. Every person in here has problems. If you say, I have no problems, you probably have a problem you're not aware of. That's a problem, see? Every person has problems. Number 2, every problem has a limited time span. In other words, you're not going to be here forever. You won't be under the bench forever trying to get that 250 off your chest. There will come a time where you will push it off or someone will spot you and help you get it off. You won't be there forever. It might seem like forever, but you won't be there forever. That 5-mile race or that 1-mile race may seem like a long time, but you won't be there forever. There will come a time where you cross the finish line and you have covered the 5 miles or the 1 mile or whatever you're covering. So you and I will not be there forever. You may say, well, I've got financial problems, Pastor. Can I tell you something? You're not going to be there forever. You're not going to be there forever. You say, well, I'm doing poorly in my grades. You won't be there forever. You may be a sophomore for 5 years, but you won't be there forever. You understand? There's a way out. And so God bless you. I'm not prophesying over anybody. Every problem has a lifespan. Every problem is going to have a beginning, and if you stay with it, you can overcome it. You can overcome it. Number 3, every problem holds positive opportunities for you and I. Every problem you have, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute, every problem you have holds positive opportunities. I'll give you a testimony. We lived in Los Angeles, California in 1992 or 91 to 94. Abigail and Rachel were born out there in Granada Hills, Mission Hills. And I was traveling, and I was the campus minister over UCLA, and I was traveling with this ministry called Champions for Christ. That's how I met Ron and Cindy Miller. I was the national director, and they were here in Florida State, and that's how I first met them. Before they were married, and they were students, etc. And it was a point in our life where things were tight financially. We didn't have any money. That's what that means. We didn't have any money. You know, I think we were underwater. We weren't even at zero. We were in negatives, Ed. So I had to pray. You know, we were so broke. We were as broke as the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you, it was bad. There was a point why we were so poor when we were first married, I couldn't even pay attention. That's how bad it was. We had no money. Say no money. All right. So guess what? Either we stay there and we starve to death, or we do something. Guess what? I got up and I did something. I had a friend call me and said, look, there's a situation where this company, all they need is people who will help them with their long distance sign up to come against AT&T and MCI, who have these exorbitant rates. And they said, it's a Christian company and they'll support your ministry. And I thought, I don't know about this. I'm called to preach the gospel. But I remember I called up the company. They were in Oklahoma. And they said, I told them what I did, and they said, well, come on out here and just check us out and see what you think. So I flew out there. They flew me out there, and And I was very skeptical, and I went there, and all of a sudden, they just met me, put me in a five-star hotel, fed me. And I was like, this is not bad, and pretty good so far. And then they said, look, all we want you to do is, because I had a network of people in ministry, they said, just network your people and tell them about us. We'll give you a cheaper long-distance phone rate. This was before cell phones, when they actually charged you for that. And they said, we'll do it cheaper, and we'll donate money to Christian charities and nonprofits. I said, okay, can I tell you something? And they said, not only that, we're just going to give you $1,000 for coming out here, and we're going to start supporting you every month for $500. I thought, that's it? We don't have to sign. Don't sign anything. We'll just get, here's the check. They cut me a check. I thought, what? And I went back, and I just introduced a couple of my friends. Guess what? They started introducing that friend. And all of a sudden, money started coming out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, we could get a new car. We could buy food for Ben. Praise God. that pushed the limits, Ed. You know what I'm saying? Can we afford to feed that boy? You know? I mean, the truth is, he had a full set of teeth when he was 2 years old. Anyway, the point is God showed up. Why? Because we didn't stay in this quagmire saying, I can't overcome this problem. With God's help and with endurance, we did. And God is great. God can meet your needs. Why? Because fixing our eyes on Jesus, he's already gone through what you're going through. If you look at him, trust him, he has the answer. He has the ability to help you get through this hardship. I want you to touch your neighbor next to you and say, that point was for you. Tough times don't last. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. If you will persevere, if you will buck up under the pressure, not only will you overcome, it'll make you a better person and a more dynamic Christian. There was this lady, her name was Betty Naismith. She was a secretary in a Dallas bank, and she got frustrated from having to, go back. There we go. She got frustrated on electric typewriters. Some of you guys remember electric typewriters before computers. And if you messed up, Sylvia, guess what you had to do? You either had to type the paper again, take the paper out and retype it, or you had to kind of and maybe cross over with an E and an I so it looked like an I. And so she got frustrated. She goes, there must be a better way for me to be able to correct these things. And she came up, because she had a history in art and painting, she says, you know what, I know when I do oil paintings, that people who do oil paintings, sometimes they'll take oil, and if they make a mistake, they will take some more oil, and they will cover up the previous mistake, and no one knows the difference. I know, I'll make this little white oil, and I'll put it on the mistake on my typewriter, that way I can type over it, no one will know. She started making it, and she tried to sell it to IBM, and they laughed at her and said, no, that's not going to work. And she said, well, I'll just do it in my work. So for about 6 months, she started making it at home. She had her own home factory. She started putting it together. And then she started giving it to her colleagues at the bank and all the banks in the area of Dallas. And they started using it, and they started being able to type and being able to correct these mistakes they made on their typewriters. You see? Then, 3 years later, she quit her bank job and made this concoction full-time at her own home. A year later, this corporation came up and said, we will buy your product called Whiteout. You can go to the next slide now. We will buy your product. Oh, surprise, yeah. We will buy this new product that you made, you've been manufacturing at home, called Whiteout. And we will give you $47.5 million. Guess what? She don't have to work at the bank no more. In fact, she owns the bank. You see? Why? She took a problem. She took a hardship. She took something that was an obstacle. Instead of bellyaching and complaining, she did something about it. Can I tell you something? Every problem in it has the potential for a great outcome. Everything you're going through, everything I'm going through has the potential, if you don't give up, for you to finish the and cross the finish line with victory and also being better off than you were when you start the race. See, that's why we need perseverance. That's why we need endurance. Anybody can be a flash in the pan. Anybody can run 100 meters. It takes a champion. It takes someone with endurance to run 26 miles. And ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not a sprint. It is a long distance race. Hebrews 10:36 said this, "For you have need of endurance, my brothers, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Not when you wish the will of God was done or you hope God would do the will, but when you have endured the hardship, you've gone through what you had to go through, you've endured, then he says, God will come and you will receive the promise that he promised you. What does it take? What is the pre-existing characteristic that we need to get the promise and get the blessing? We got to have endurance. We have to understand that we have to stand strong and endure. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says this, "And after you have suffered for a little while," everyone say a little while. "After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you by his own glory in Christ Jesus, he himself will confirm, strengthen, and establish you." We have need for perseverance. We have need for endurance. It won't happen just because we hear a good sermon. It only happens when we make a decision to do the hard things. I could rename this sermon, "Do Hard Things." Do hard things. Don't take the path of least resistance. Don't do the easy things. Don't do the comfortable things. Don't do the convenient things. Do the hard things. And when you get on the other side, you will be a champion. And people will look to you and won't say, "How did you make it?" And you can tell them, "I had this thing called endurance. I persevered because I believe in God. And God blessed me and brought me to this point, out of the valley to the mountaintop." Amen. Say, "I have need for endurance. I have need for perseverance." Bow your heads with me. Rachel, you can come on up. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this characteristic, and I pray that we would concentrate and embrace this characteristic that Ron has highlighted in chapter 5, this thing called perseverance, that we would persist in doing things that are hard and difficult, that we would not give up when things are unpleasant or the process or the situation gets hard. Lord, let us not give up. Let us not look for greener pastures. Let us not look for ease or comfort. Anybody can make it when it's easy. Anybody can do it when there's no resistance. Lord, let us look for those things that bring resistance, and let us embrace them with your grace and with your power, fixing our eyes on you, Jesus, because you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you sat down at the right hand of God, the Father. Because you can do it, Lord, and you had to go through hardship, and you achieved your goal, Lord, we can do it. You are a great model for us. So, Father, I pray for myself, and I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for people who are listening to the podcast or will listen to the podcast, that, Father, we make a decision and say no to our selfishness, no to our comfort and ease, and yes to doing hard things, yes to perseverance, yes to being a person of endurance that finishes the race strong. Father, let us not be quitters, but, Lord, let us be overcomers. And we ask you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bow your heads with me just one more moment. If you're here and you say, "Pastor Ken, I've really, even this week, this month, I've thought about quitting. I've thought about giving up. It's just hard." The reason it's hard is because you got your eyes on the wrong thing. You're not looking at Jesus. You're not looking at the finisher of our faith. He's a finisher. He's not a quitter. He finishes what he sets out to do. I want to encourage you, don't look at the problem. Don't look at how tired you are. Don't look how heavy the weight is. Look at the finisher of your faith and say, "God, give me strength to finish. I can take one more step. I can take one more step. If I can take one more step, I can take two more steps. If I can take two more steps, I can take 10 more steps. If I can take 10 more steps, God, I can take 100 more steps. God, I know I can take one more step. Lord, give me the grace. Let me focus not on my pain and or my hardship, but let me focus on the finisher. Keeping my eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of my faith. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, I have to deal with fear and doubt and giving up, and I want to be a finisher. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to finish strong. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up high and say, that's me. Pray for me, please. Raise your hand up high. Just keep it up for a moment. I want to finish. I don't want to quit. It's easy to quit, but I'm not a quitter. God, you haven't called me to quit. You haven't called me to fall short. Just with your hands up, if you've got your hand raised up, I want you to stand at your seat. Just stand up where you're at. If you didn't raise your hand, but you say, I need to stand, stand with these people. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I'm going to finish. I want to be a finisher. Lord, I just pray for all these wonderful people in here that, Father, we would keep our eyes on you. Forget about the pain, the hardship, the difficulty. Lord, we realize it's hard. Life is not easy. You never said it would be easy, but Lord, you said that you were the overcomer. And if we hitched our faith to you, we would overcome with you. Today, God, I put away my fear, the fear of the future, my doubt. And God, I ask you, Lord, to give me faith to overcome. Let me be a finisher. Let me be someone who crosses the finish line. I don't need to sprint across. All I need to do is step across. Thank you, God, for bringing me here. Thank you, God, for giving me courage. Thank you, God, for giving me hope that I've got another step in me. I'm not going to give up. And if I don't give up and I keep my eyes on you, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish strong. So, Father, I thank you for all these precious people. I pray you would encourage them, help them, Lord. Lord, I pray that this fear, this whole thing about giving up, it's easier to give up. Lord, I pray they would fight against that by your Spirit, and that you would encourage them to be strong in faith and keep their eyes on you as they run this race. Thank you, Lord, for endurance. Thank you for perseverance. Let's all stand together as a church. Father, help us all to run this race. Lord, help us go out this week and be finishers. Help us keep our eyes on you and not our problems. Help us keep our eyes on you and not our hardships. And Lord, let us give you glory and praise, because we're all going to finish because we're trusting in you, and you are the one who is the example who will help us finish. So we give you praise, we give you glory, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.